We continue our learning. We are in Yevamos, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. So we continue our discussion. Remember, the previous Mishnah spoke about a case. We have a child. We don't know if he's the son of the mother of the first husband or of the second husband. So we're going to see what issues come up when one of the father, potential fathers, is a Yisrael and one is a Kohen. Remember, we're not sure if he's a 7-month-old child of the new husband or a 9-month-old child of the old husband, and one of the fathers is a Yisrael, one's a Kohen. So Echad Yisrael Echad Kohen. So what does this person do, this child do, this son? He has to marry a woman who is Ru'uya L'Kohen. Yeah, because maybe he is a Kohen himself. So he can't marry a Gurusha, a Zona, a Chalala. Veinu Tamei L'Meisim, because he may be a Kohen, he can't become Tamei L'Meisim. We've had this in the early Mishnayos as well. Vimni Tama Eino Sovek Zar Bar. But if he does become Tamei L'Meisim, we can't assume he's in violation of Lenefesh Lui Tama Ba'amav, where he would get Malkus. He doesn't get Malkus because it's possible that he's not a Kohen. Veinu Ochel B'Truma, he's not allowed to eat Truma, because maybe Misa Midei Shamayim, if he's not a Kohen, if he's a Zar, V'machal, but if he did eat Truma, Eino Mishalim Karen V'Chomesh. He doesn't have to pay the principal or the fifth, not even the principal, because he's eating something that may be his, and the general principle is, as we said in the past, principle, this is principle with an L-E, is that Hamotzi Mechaveru L'Varaya. So the Kohen, the family of Kohenim, would have to bring proof that he indeed is not a Kohen in order for him to pay. And therefore, he obviously doesn't have to because the possibility exists that he really is a Kohen. Ve'eino Cholei Kala Goren, but if he comes to the granary, he cannot come and divide up, and they don't give him Truma, they don't distribute Truma and give it to him as a gift, because maybe that's also Hamotzi Mechav L'Raya. Bring me a proof you're a Kohen and we'll give you the Truma. Umocher HaTruma V'Hadamim Shelo. Let's say he has his own farm and he has his own crops. So he separates Truma, but he's not allowed to eat the Truma because he may be a non-Kohen, but he's allowed to sell the Truma and keep the money. It's because it's a pasta. This is once again Hamotzi Mechav L'Raya. He doesn't eat the Truma, but the money he's able to keep. Ve'eno Cholek B'Kodshei HaMikdash. And he doesn't divide up the Kodesh HaMikdash, but it comes to Karbonos. We've had this in the past. So he does not, because the possibility is that he is not a Kohen, and therefore he should not be involved in any dividing up of any karbanos, and that includes even things that are not b'nei achila, things that you don't eat, you don't consume, like the hides of karbanos. They know sim lo es hakachim. We don't give him karbanos to be makriv. You can't be makriv as a non-Kohen. Ve'ein motzi in es shelo miyado. Nor do we take literally a shelo, that which belongs to him, from his hand. So one example of that is if, let's say, he has to bring a karban chatos or ola or Asham, we don't force him to give that carbon to the Anshe Mishmar. He can give it of that particular week. He can give it to any Kohen that he likes. They can't force him to give that carbon to them. Because remember, the Kohanim themselves, the Zichrei Kuna, do eat from the carbon Asham or Chatas, and even the Ola is something that they get to sacrifice. He can choose to give it to whomever he wants to sacrifice. Others say if a Bechor, let's say, and we explained this in the past this way, let's say a Bechor is born to him in his flock, so we can't take the Bechor away from him. Upater min hazroa v'halacha yayim v'hakeva. He is exempt from giving what we've called in the past matanos, the front foreleg and the mandible, the jaw, and the keva, one of the four stomachs, which are normally given to the Kohanim. He is puter from giving them, and he in fact can even eat them, because matanos are mutter to a non-Kohen. Ubechoro yehe roa ad sheyistoy. If he has a bechor in his flock, so what should he do with it? So he has to wait till it has a mum kavua, a permanent blemish, and then he can eat it, because even a non-Kohen is able to eat a Bechor that has a Mum Kavua. The Nostim, all of which we can't, if it doesn't have a Mum, it has to be brought as a Karban, he obviously can't do that. But once it develops a blemish, a permanent blemish, is able to eat it. And we give upon this person, who once again, we're not sure if he's a Kohen or Yisrael, because we don't know if his father's a Kohen or Yisrael, because his mother married within the 3 months. We give him extra chumros. What extra chumros? So we also mentioned this in the past regarding his karban mincha. On the one hand, we take kmitza from it, which and put it on the mizbeach. and the rest, but the rest of it cannot be eaten. And it has to be burnt. On the other hand, we remember, a minchas kohen, the whole thing is burnt on the mizbech. A minchas Yisrael, the kemitzah is burnt and the rest is eaten by the kohanim. So here we're kind of stuck in the middle. On the one hand, you can't burn the whole thing because you're not supposed to place on the mizbech that which should not be placed on the mizbech. So maybe it's a minchas Yisrael, and the only thing you should put on the mizbech is the kometz. On the other hand, you can't eat it. The kohanim can't eat what's left over from this flour offering because maybe it's a minchas kohen and it has to be burnt on the mizbech completely. On the other hand, you can't burn everything on the mizbech because maybe it's a minchas Yisrael. So we burn that which is not the kemitza. We burn the shirayim leftovers in the Beis Hadeshen in another area. Hayu shnehem kohanim. Okay, so up until this one, we're talking about where these two potential fathers, one is a kohen, one is a Yisrael. What if they're both kohanim? And so therefore this Safek ben Tisha, Safek ben Shiva is definitely a Kohen. So says the Mishnah, Hu Onein Alehem, which means that the child will be an Onein and not be able to perform the Avoda of Karbanos or eating Kachim. On that day, the day of the passing, the day of the Kvura, as we say that when you're an Onein, so because we know very well that he's a Kohen. Vehein Onenim Alav. And they become an Onein for him. Each one of them is an Onein and cannot do Avoda on or eat Kachim. So in this case, he's definitely a Kohen and therefore he's not allowed to eat Karbanos. Why? Because he's a Safek. Safek that maybe indeed this person who passed away was his father. Or these two men, if the child passed away, both of them also Safek, maybe this child who passed away was their son. And therefore they have to become Onein and have to be strict. If they're Kohenim, we know they're Kohenim. Since they're Kohanim, they have the Naledi Karbanos and do any Avoda on that day. Hu eino mitamei lohem, vehem eino mitamim lo. But this also we have to be machmir. Since they are Kohanim, and it's possible, let's say, what happens? So if one of those fathers passes away, it's possible that was his father. And since the son, is a Kohen, he can't be mitamei lemesim. And they also can't be mitamei to him. Once again, suffix that maybe this is their son. If it's their son, we have to be careful. If it's the son, or the father, so that's okay to be mitame lebesim, because if it's one of the seven closest relatives. But it may be this person who passed away was not your relative, and therefore you cannot become tame lemes. So that is what the Mishnah means, hu einu mitame lehem, vein eima mitame lo. Now there is a question the Gemara asks, how is it possible that we're speaking about this case of becoming an Onein, let's say. So remember what happened. You have this woman and she was married to a man and then she was now released from that man. Maybe he passed away. Maybe he divorced her. She's a grusha now. And within 3 months, she should not have done this. Within 3 months, she marries another man and she gave birth to a child. And we're not sure if this child is from the first husband or the second husband. So we want to know how exactly was she released from the first husband. Had she been an almana, meaning the husband passed away, that can't be. Because the mystery here says that the first husband has to follow the laws of being an Onein. So obviously he's still alive. Maybe she's divorced. Also not possible. Because then she wouldn't have been able to marry the other guy who was a Kohen because she's a Grusha. So, and that would have been, and the child, by the way, would have been a Cholal. And if it's a Cholal, then when the Mishnah says, oh, you can't become Tamei Lemes, why can't you become Tamei Lemes? A Cholal can become Tamei Lemes to anybody. It wouldn't have to just be the relative because the Cholal doesn't have the status of a Kohen. So the Gemara says, has a creative way of, the case must be that the woman's first husband married with a Tanai. Whatever the Tanai was, and the Tanai wasn't fulfilled. So therefore the Tanai then, well, that was completely batel, limafre retroactively, and then she married the second Kohen within 3 months, and that's how we could have such a situation. Okay, anyway, then the Mishnah says, Hu eino yoresh o son, avalheim yorshin o so. This son cannot be yoresh any of these two fathers. Why? Because the other brothers, well, the other Yarshim will say, yeah, you prove to us that you're our brother and we'll give you part of the Yerusha. But you can't prove that, so we're not giving you anything. Avolhem Yerushim Oso. If he didn't have any children, so these two fathers are Yerushim. What happens? If someone passes away and he doesn't have children, the father's Yerush. You don't know which is the father. Very nice. One of them is the father, so they'll be Yerush and they'll split the Yerusha of the son. The ole upatra makaso val kilolaso shel ze v'shel ze. If this son hits or curses one of these two potential fathers, he's not chayv misa, because it's only a suffix that he's their son. But if he hit them both at the same time, or was mekalo them, cursed them b'dibor echad, then he would be chayv, the Gemara says. V'ole b'mishmaro shel ze v'shel ze. He can go up. There were 24 mishmaros of Kohanim, as we know. And if both of the fathers are Kohanim, he's able to go up, and should go up, in fact, with the mishmar of each of those fathers. So the mishmar typically would serve for a week or twice a year, really, because the 24 mishmar is 48 weeks, and then they have other days. So approximately twice a year, a week each time. This person should go up four times a year, because there are two fathers. He should join the mishmar of each, but at the same time, of Eino Cholek. But he doesn't get to divide up of any of the karbanos, because the family are able to push him away. The rest of the people in the mishmar and say, no, you're not dividing up part of the karbanos. You may not be from our mishmar. Maybe this is really not your father. Im hayu shneim mishmar echad, then no tel chelak echad. But if both of the balim were part of the same mishmar and part of the same beis av, because they serve on the same day, so then indeed he can get a chelak, because obviously he's part of shayach to that particular mishmar. We begin the 12th parak, which is about the mitzvah of chalitza. The Torah says in Parshas Ki Tse'etzeh that if this man is not interested in yibum, he comes up to the zekenim, up to the gate of the city, and the yivama says this man is not interested in sustaining the name of his brother. He doesn't want to perform yibum. And he has to stand and declare, no, I'm not interested in marrying her. So what do you do with the ceremony of chalitza? The yavam comes. The Yavama comes to the Yavam in front of the Zekenim. V'chaltza nalo, and she removes his shoe, me'ar ago, from his foot. V'yarakab b'fanav, and she spits on the floor in front of him. V'anasav amra, and then she has to declare, kacha yaseh lo ish, ashe lo yivnes, beis achiv. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael, beis chalutz hanal, is what it says. So the Mishnah here says the following, mitzvahs chalitza b'shlosha dayanim. V'afilu shloshtam hedyotas. Mishnah of chalitza is to be done with three dayanim. How do I know that? Well, the pasuk says zikenim. The minimum of zikenim is two. And there's the general rule from Sanhedrin, ein based in shakel. You can't have a based in that is an even number. It has to be odd. So therefore, we add on one more. Zikenim is two. Add on one more, we have three. And the Mishnah says it's even true if they are hedyotas. Hedyotas means that they don't have smicha of a direct chain from Moshe Rabbeinu, an unbroken chain from Moshe Rabbeinu. They're not mumchim, but that's also acceptable. Mishnah Gemara says the Mishnah mentions dayanim, shlosha dayanim, to teach us that still they have to be a dayan. They have to be able to be makri. They have to be able to read the psukim for the yavam and the yavama for them to repeat after them. So the yavama, they have to be able to read to the yavama me'en yavami lahakim lachel shemi yisrael lo avayabimi, so she can repeat after them. And to the yavam, they have to be able to say aloha fatzi lekachta. And then again after the chalitza, kocha yiyas eloish, asher lo yivnes beis achiv. So they have to be able to say these things. So they have to know something, but it happens to be the Gemara says that although the Mishnah says you need three, we add two more. So the chalitza is in front of five for pirsum hadavar, to publicize things. But those extra two people are really not included as part of the Beis Din. They don't even need to have the ability to be makri to read these psukim, and they're still kosher to make five. Then the Mishnah says, chalitza b'mino. Let's say she does the chalitza with the shoe. Chalitzas are kshera, the chalitza is kosher. Now, why would I think it's not? Doesn't the Torah speak about chalitza na'ala? So the answer is that the halacha is we're supposed to use something made of leather, a shoe made of leather, but we generally use a sandal, and not a shoe. Why is that true? Me, d'oraisa, a shoe and a sandal are both acceptable. But the Chachamim made a gzera that we should only use a sandal for the following reason. Because a shoe and a sandal are very different. A shoe has a hard leather sole, has a soft leather upper section, and that covers the entire foot until the ankle. A sandal, we know, may have a hard leather sole, but there's no upper covering. So what's the problem? The problem is that a torn shoe or sandal is is not acceptable for chalitza. So what's going to happen? A person's going to have a shoe that tears and say, oh, this still works. It's almost like a sandal. The upper part is going to tear off, and they may use it for chalitza. So because it still can be put on the foot. So the chachamim were afraid that people may use a torn shoe for chalitza. They said, no shoes at all. But a sandal that's torn and can't be put on at all, can't be used at all because it's missing everything. So therefore, it only has a sole, so it's completely unusable when it's torn. That we're not afraid of. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, chalitza the biddel, but nonetheless, b'di'evet. If you use the shoe, chalitza s'shera, it's going to be acceptable b'di'evet. Then the Mishnah says, ba'an pilin, chalitza s'psula. But if you use on pilin, a cloth shoe, a stocking, a sock, whatever it is, a made of cloth, that's not a shoe. That doesn't have the status, and we learn from Pasuk in Yecheskel, it has to be leather, and therefore this is not acceptable. B'sandal she'yesh lo akev kasher, v'she'ein lo akev pasul. A sandal that has literally a heel is a kosher sandal, but if it doesn't have a heel, it's a pasul sandal. What a heel means is a debate. Some hold that a heel doesn't refer to the heel at all. It refers to the back of the sandal, the part that goes around the back of the foot. According to that, as long as that's solid, even if you're missing part of the heel, it's not a problem, because a cave here means it needs an a cave. It needs the back of the foot that covers the back of the foot. But others say no, heel means heel, and therefore if it's missing the heel, it's going to be pasul. Then the Mishnah says, minhar kuba ulamata, from the knee and below, chalitzasa kshera. Minhar kuba ulamala, chalitzasa psula. This is referring to where we put the straps of the shoe straps of the chalitza shoe. So the almana is the yavama is supposed to untie the straps from the leg of the yavam and remove the shoe. And if the straps were wrapped around his calf, that's where it's supposed to be good. That's what it means kosher. It's below the knee. And that's based on the fact that it says v'cholzona alo me'al raglo. What's me'al raglo? From upon his regular foot, that's only the calf section. That's not the thigh section. So because then the Gemara says it means you have to remove the shoe straps from the area directly above the foot. If it's wrapped around his knee or above, and that's where he removes it from, so that's not going to be a kosher chalitza. Others explain that they're referring to a yavam who is an amputee. So if he's a below knee amputee, and therefore it's strapped around the stump, that's okay, because that is still, that's below the knee. But if he is an above knee amputee, so now the shoe can only be fastened and removed from that section, the chalitza is not going to be kosher. In fact, no chalitza is possible, and we have to have another brother do the chalitza according to this opinion. Then the Mishnah says, chalitza v'sandal she'eno shelo, o v'sandal shel eitz, o v'shel smol bayamin. Oh, no, that is the next Mishnah. Okay, so we have finished. We'll continue with that. That is Mishnah based.